Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Third hour at Aaron Donick and Chase on this Wednesday afternoon. Beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Sunny, beautiful. It's going to be about high 70s. By the way, by Friday, I think the high is supposed to be low 60s. So starting to get a little nippy as we start October tomorrow. Yeah. Flip-flopping.
I had to layer up for the high school soccer game yesterday.
I bet you did. You always
ready.
Are layered up.
We got another one today.
Yep.
It's exciting. High school action.
And how did they do yesterday?
They got a big win yesterday. It was awesome.
Yeah. Very nice.
The USN Tigers, senior captain, goalie, Evans Donick. Nice
job.
Pitch
a shutout?
No, they got one on her, but it was a good game. It was a 1-1 late in the first half, and then they played an outstanding second half. As I've said on the show, they were very cautious. They didn't start until last week. So this is only their second week of games. They've been practicing, right? But we were all wondering about the sharpness, and man, they found another level yesterday. So that was a key win for them yesterday. They play again today, and then the postseason starts late next week. So they have basically a 3-week regular season, and then it's on for the real deal.
Okay.
Challenge, but it's great to be back out there.
We will keep some close tabs on that.
We had some air high fives on the among the parents and the fans yesterday.
Very
socially
nice.
Distant air high fives.
Very nice. Let's bring in Chris Mason. Our final chat with him. Sad about that, but man, we've had a lot of fun with Chris this 2020 calendar year. It hasn't been a whole lot of fun, but man, we've had fun with him. C-Mace, what's up?
What's up, guys? I didn't know that was this is our final one. I am sad now, too. I was happy before, but I'm now sad.
Well, sorry, didn't mean to bring us down well, right
we,
out of the
we
game.
We reserve the right for spot duty when the situation calls.
Yeah, I was
calls.
About to say, like, he's not, you know, we're not sending him off to pasture
no,
or anything.
No,
no. it's just until next time, right? It's not
right.
Goodbye,
no doubt.
It's not goodbye. It's see you later.
See you
later. See you
soon. When, but potentially see you soon, but we really don't know for sure, but we think we will.
Well, that's a good point. Let's just start right there. I mean, do we have any idea, like, what see you soon will be? I mean, now that it's over, I mean, there's going to have to be news on that front here eventually. Where do you think that's headed, the start of next season?
I think draft, obviously, is a huge time for, I think, Nashville, maybe more than ever. I mean, David Poile, I didn't hear at all. But a lot of, you know, pretty big stuff coming out of his press conference and pretty bold statements and pretty very direct and blunt about the team and the situation and who's not coming back. And we've talked about, you know, what they need to do in their lineup. And I think now it's, you know, it's at that time and the draft is a big part of that. Obviously, they got an opportunity to get a really good prospect. We know now, you know, in the National Hockey League, kids are playing in the league a lot sooner and they're making more of an impact in the league at an earlier age. And for the first time in a while, the Preds have some pretty good, you know, high picks in the draft. So this is a big couple weeks here, big, you know, part of the off season for the Predators, no doubt for their future, as a matter of fact. So it's could be sooner than later. We're chatting again about some pretty big stuff.
Yeah, that's a good point. What did you make of David Poile's comments yesterday about Kyle Turris's future here? What did you take from it?
Well, I think it's everything's on the table. There's, you know, they're looking at everything. They're looking at trying to, you know, potentially make a deal. He's talking to GMs. He's trying to, you know, do something that way. He didn't rule out the possibility of him coming back. I mean, there's always, you know, there's a buyout option. He's basically said they're doing everything they can to try to, you know, figure that situation out and, you know, address certain needs and maybe things that they get to clear up some cap space to sign somebody. I don't really get the impression they're going to go make a big splash. But having said that, if you free up, you know, some money and you're obviously, you know, letting Granlund and Smith go to free agency, that's going to, you know, free up some money that they don't have to pick up on those contracts or pay if they were going to get a deal done with them. So it could be interesting. Could be interesting. It was telling that, you know, everything's on the table and they're looking to address that situation in the best way they can. And they're out there actively trying to get that taken care of.
Why do you think, Chris, he told us or told everybody that he's been talking to 10 GMs a day?
I think that he's always been, you know, it's one thing I really respect about David. First of all, his passion and his love for this team and city, but he's always been very open, I think, with the fan base, which I think a lot of people and the media really, really appreciate, because you don't get that in a lot of cities. We're very lucky to have that with him. He's very transparent. But I also think when you say something like that, it's a little bit of posturing, saying, you know, if there is a couple GMs or if there is 10, and you let that be known that maybe one of the GMs that has some interest, maybe they get a little more interested because, you know, David's talking to so many GMs right now. But I also think it tells the fans that, hey, look, I know last year was disappointing. I'm not happy with it. Our players aren't happy with it. And I'll tell you what, I'm on the phone every day. I'm talking to 10 GMs right now. I'm trying to get something done. I'm trying to make this team better. And I think that's a powerful message, and that's something I think the fan base wants to hear. And I think, you know, anyone that's around the team always wants to, you know, if your leader is out there doing everything he can possible to make your team better, I think that's a good sign. And it's nice that he shares that with the fans.
When I used to do shows with Derek Mason, D-Mace, former player, long time in the NFL, who you know, he used to always tell me all the time if he was a GM, he would go out and try to get players, bring in players when warranted, players that understand winning, been in winning organizations, been in winning locker rooms, understand what winning looks, feels, smells like, how to get there. And those are the type of guys, if you're going to go out in the free agent market or ever make a trade, those are the guys that he would identify. Tampa kind of did that, right? I mean, they had an historic regular season last year. They got, as we all know, it's well documented, got bounced in the first round, got swept. And what did they do? We know their roster's loaded, but they went out and got some guys that have been in winning locker rooms. You go out and get a Pat Maroon and Shen. You go out and bring in these guys that, you know, been around the block, have been in winning locker rooms, and they just kind of mix it up with bringing in some new faces and guys that have been through the wars and maybe just bring a different perspective, and it worked. What's your philosophy on that, on guys who have – you put a lot of stock in that or no?
I mean, I do, but, you know, at the end of the day, every single year, a lot of teams do that, but it only works for one team. So
yeah,
I think with Tampa Bay, I think last year, you know, you mentioned the historic season. I think the regular season was maybe one of the best in history last year. I think they had felt like they had the President's Trophy wrapped up in December, for crying out loud. They were so dominant. And then, you know, it's tough going down the stretch, and we know how that is when the Preds won the President's Trophy. The last, you know, month of the season just doesn't quite feel as urgent as the rest of the entire league, and they end up getting bounced. But I think that experience for that group, you know, helped them, you know, move forward and prepare for what it was like for them this year, so they wouldn't get caught not being ready. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, unforeseen circumstances that happened this year. But when the hockey started back up, you know, you could just see that this was a very determined team. They're full of talent, and we all know that doesn't guarantee you anything. But I do think they did bring a lot of good pieces. And, you know, it's not like in the offseason you're thinking, oh, Tampa Bay signed Pat Maroon. Wow, they're, you know, going to guarantee themselves a Stanley Cup. But you make a great point, because having those guys in the room, this is a guy that, you know, he scored big goals. He made big plays. He's a physical guy. He makes an impact on your team, and having guys like that in your locker room, it just helps especially if you have a few of the veteran older guys and guys that have been there and won, just when you're in those, you know, those moments where you could go one way or the other, or you could panic, or you get a little too high, or you get a little too down after a loss, or whatever the case may be, you just have that guy in the room, or those players that just say, guys, don't worry, it's not a big deal. You know, we lost one game. They got to beat us three more times, or whatever the situation may be, or, you know, you lose a couple of your big players to injury. And, you know, just the way that they just bring, I feel, the balance of where your head's at as a group is so important, because we know, you know, there's so much talent in this league, and the degree of separation is very small. And that mental advantage of having those players on your roster and just, you know, transcends through your hockey team, make all the difference in the world.
Chris Mason is with us. We're talking a little hockey here as we look ahead to the offseason. The draft is next Tuesday night. And Mace, with that, the word is uncertainty. That's maybe the number one word of 2020. But for the NHL, there's a lot to sort out. When will the league start back up? How many games can they play? How many fans can be in the building? And that is going to affect all of the revenue, of course, and it ties back to how much can you spend on your team? How many teams can continue to get to that $81 million cap? How will they approach it? So with all that in mind, what will the uncertainty do to the market in terms of who might be available? And maybe there's more options for David Poile than there would be in a normal year. And then on top of that, you've got to think about the expansion draft the following year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is uncertain, and it's very – I'm very curious to see what that's going to be like. I think as a player in this situation, there might be some guys saying, hey, like you said, this is uncertain times. I don't know, you know, what team's budgets are going to be like and all this kind of stuff. Unless you're one of the, you know, high-end superstar kind of guys, I think that, you know, GMs might have the opportunity to go bargain hunting a little bit, especially when you have, you know, you're the Nashville Predators and you have a team like you do, and the city and the building and the fans and all the things that Nashville has to offer as a team, I think you could go out and maybe be selective and probably could get, you know, a couple good deals out there. And I think a lot of teams will be looking to do that. But again, just like, you know, just like we talked about David Poile talking to 10 GMs trying to increase maybe the urgency and things like that, it all depends on, you know, the interest for that given player. And I just really feel that Nashville could be a very appealing destination for a lot of players, the way that their roster is constructed right now, the potential openings in the lineup, the opportunity that they could have coming here if he is a player that, you know, David and John Hines are really interested in. So I think there could be some opportunity to get a couple bargains here in the offseason, because I think players will want to sign and get deals done and not wait around and try to hit the home run.
Yeah, I saw Lou Lamoriello, who was a great bargain shopper, kind of like David Poile. He said, I think there's going to be a lot more players available than you think. So this is going to be a really intriguing thing. It might start on draft night. And Mace, here, share this with us. I know you had a chance to have a couple of great conversations with Roman Josi since he's won the Norris, some of which we saw some clips of. But Roger Federer from Switzerland, you know, the number one sports icon in Swiss history, right? He took the time to congratulate Roman Josi. And I think you, in your conversation with Roman, you had a chance to ask him his background of how well he knows Roger Federer. Well, like, we've always kidded him. Like, there's Roger Federer, and then Roman, are you second to Roger in Swiss fame? You know, hockey is pretty big over there, but he talked about the first time that he ever met Roger Federer. That was pretty cool.
Well, it was really cool. It was because, yeah, he did come on and he gave Roman a big congratulations. I asked him, look, is he just doing this because you guys are both Swiss, you know, Swiss-born and all that kind of stuff? Are you guys boys? And he said that he met him when Roman was 18, and he said he was so nervous and so, you know, intimidated. This is like the biggest star in Switzerland. And he just said that he was blown away with how comfortable he made everybody around him feel, and how humble Roger was, and just raved about how he treated people. And really, it sounded like Roman was describing himself, you know, so we kind of joked around that they make him pretty good over there in Switzerland, but No, it's really cool. And you know, Roger's watched him play, and Roman's went to watch Roger play quite a bit. So it's a pretty cool thing. And you can see there was a lot of admiration, I think, on both sides of the relationship there when Roger gave his heartfelt congratulations to Yossi for winning the Norris Trophy. And then you could just see how much Roman really respects Roger. And that says a lot about a guy that's, you know, one of the biggest sports stars ever, you know, obviously ever played tennis, but ever any sport. He really is one of the most, you know, famous guys in the world, in the sporting world. And to hear that, you know, he's got those kind of humble characteristics and treats everybody like that was pretty cool to hear. But, you know, Roman's the exact same way. So it was pretty neat to hear him talk about Roger Federer like that.
We're talking to Chris Mason of the Nashville Predators, a TV analyst alongside Willie D on Fox Sports Tennessee. What do you how beneficial is it to somebody like Yakov Trenin, Eli Tolvanen, that, you know, they've been loaned out to the KHL, they're getting some playing time? These are two young guys that David Poile has referenced of being a big, having a bigger role on this team moving forward, with some of the names leaving, and Trenin gets rewarded with a 2-year contract. But how big is that going to be for them to get some experience?
It's huge. You got to play. I mean, especially when you're young, they're in prime development years. They're going to be getting on the ice with some of the best players outside of the NHL. It's a very good league, playing against some grown men, high caliber players, a lot of skill. Obviously, it's a little bit different over there. Believe it or not, the KHL is actually a really defensive league, so they're going to, you know, be able to work on that side of the game as well. But I think for these guys to be playing, especially if I'm the Preds right now, and these are a couple of players that I'm considering on my roster, I want them playing. I want them. I know you risk, you know, you take the chance to risk injury, but, you know, if that's you know, doesn't happen, these guys get an opportunity to develop and work on their game. And then by the time, you know, training camp rolls around, these guys are, they're mid-season form, and you want players like that, you know, coming into your team and, you know, compete for a job. And again, just, I'm sure they'll be keeping good tabs on both of these guys. I think you can watch all the games on TV or streamed anyway, but I think it's really important for guys, especially, you know, Trenin, who's, I'm so happy with that signing. I think he's an impact player, and I think he's got a lot of growth left in his game, especially on the offensive side of things in the NHL level. The more he plays, the better he seemed to get. And then Eli Tolvanen, you know, we've seen flashes maybe of what he can do here and there, but not enough to really make me think, yeah, this kid's a star. Although he has the talent, and his development has come, you know, a little slower than everybody'd hoped for, but it's coming. He seems to keep getting better and better, and having these guys play over there will just continue that growth.
And then a non-Preds one. The Rangers announced today they're buying out Henrik Lundqvist. We know what he's meant to that team, but as somebody that played the position and you've watched him over the years, what has Henrik Lundqvist meant to the league? And I'm not saying this is it for him, but, you know, obviously the end of an era with the Rangers.
Oh man, he's you know, he's one of those guys, King Henrik. You don't have a nickname like that if you're average, or you're not a good person or ambassador for the game. And every time you think of the New York Rangers, that's the guy I think of. You know, for the last however many years, he's been the backbone of that club. And, you know, he helped them get to the final the 1 year that they did. And he's helped them keep them competitive through the rebuild. I mean, he's been through it all with that team, and he showed great loyalty. You know, he could have asked for trades a few years ago when the team started the rebuild, but he wanted to stick with them. And it really, I get it's a business. But I would feel, you know, it's like if the Preds bought out Pekka Rinne, you know, how would that feel? It just doesn't feel right to have that, to see that in the headlines. But he is the New York Rangers right now, and it's an end of an era. And it always comes to an end eventually, but it's tough to see it happen like that to such a great goaltender over the years, one of the best to ever play the game, and, you know, such a great ambassador for the Rangers. It's tough to see, but yeah, hopefully it's not the end for him. It was a tough couple of years here for King Henrik in New York, but they got those young guys coming up, so I guess they had to make a move.
Do you think it's it? I mean, do you think he actually plays another year? Do you think he's been there, done it, he's accomplished everything he needs to accomplish?
I mean, I guess it just depends on, you know, obviously it's tough for a player to say, all right, you know, I've done pretty good. I want to shut her down. Like, if he can still keep playing and he can find a situation that he would be okay with, in terms of maybe not being the number one guy. I know he's, you know, had to deal with that a little bit at times the last couple of years with their young goaltenders coming in and, you know, stealing some ice time and a lot of it actually, and they're really good. But if there's a situation out there that he could find, you know, look at teams, look at Dallas. You need two guys. You have to have two guys. You know, very rare are you going to see the Montreals where it's just Carey Price, basically. You know, there's not many teams that just have that situation anymore. You need a couple guys that are able to carry the load, and there's a lot of teams that don't have, you know, a Carey Price or a Vasilevsky that can, you know, that can run the show, run the table the whole time. So if he can find a situation that he'd be good with, I'm sure he'll have some opportunity. Just matters if, you know, if he's okay with that and he wants to do that. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he said, you know what, I remember Paul Kariya, he had a little injury problems, but he said, if I can't be the best that I feel my ability is, and I don't have a situation like that, I don't want to play just because of his expectations on himself are so high. So there are guys that play at that level that feel like that. But I'm sure he could, if he wanted to, find somewhere to go.
Well, if he just wants to stay in the area, he can go play for the Islanders and probably play another 5-6 years with their luck with goaltenders.
There you go. Exactly. Good point.
Hey, great stuff as always. We've appreciated all of our talks with you throughout this year, but we will definitely talk to you soon. Thanks for doing this. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, thanks. Love you guys.
Love you too. C-Mace said is Chris Mason, Willie's partner in the television booth, former Predators goaltender, and of course does a bang-up job on television with Willie on Fox Sports Tennessee, and he is a delight to talk to every single week. I'm going to ask you guys if you notice something that we didn't get a chance. I was going to bring it up yesterday, but obviously we got sidetracked with kind of this big story with the Titans. But just wanted to bring up something on this front as we kind of wrap up the hockey season. See if you noticed it after the Lightning won the Stanley Cup. We'll do that on the other side. Tim Hasselbeck at 1 o'clock. You're listening to Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.